In 1879, a scruffy inventor in a New Jersey laboratory carbonized a simple cotton thread, sealed it in a glass bulb, and watched it glow for 13 hours straight. That moment didn't just birth the light bulb, it announced the arrival of a man who would reshape civilization itself. Thomas Edison wasn't born brilliant. He was kicked out of school after 3 months, labeled addled by a teacher who couldn't grasp his restless curiosity. Yet this supposedly slow child would go on to hold 1,093 patents and create industries that didn't exist before he imagined them. What made Edison extraordinary wasn't genius in the traditional sense. It was something far more accessible and, frankly, more inspiring, an almost superhuman capacity for work married to an unshakable belief that problems were just puzzles waiting to be solved. Young Al Edison didn't fit the mold. While other children memorized lessons, he conducted chemistry experiments in a train's baggage car until he nearly burned it down with phosphorus. Most kids would have been chastened. Edison just moved his laboratory elsewhere. His mother Nancy saw what others missed. When teachers gave up on him, she gave him books, particularly Michael Faraday's work on electricity. By his teens, Edison was a telegraph operator, earning the nickname Loony Edison because he spent every cent on scientific equipment instead of food. At 21, he declared, "I am now 21. I may live to be 50. Can I get as much done as Faraday did? I have got so much to do and life is so short. I am going to hustle." That urgency became his operating system. While others pondered, Edison experimented. His approach wasn't elegant or academic. It was relentless, systematic, and devastatingly effective. Edison's greatest invention wasn't the light bulb or phonograph. It was the invention factory itself. In 1876, he established Menlo Park, the world's first industrial research laboratory, fundamentally changing how innovation worked. Before Edison, inventors toiled alone in workshops, guarding secrets. Edison assembled teams, chemists, physicists, craftsmen, mathematicians, and set them loose on problems together. The place ran on controlled chaos. When inspiration struck, work continued for days without pause. Edison would sleep on laboratory tables, wake up, and immediately resume experimenting. His assistant once found him unconscious after a 72-hour marathon, surrounded by equipment. He valued skilled hands as much as trained minds. Charles Batchelor, his closest collaborator, was an English mechanic with extraordinary practical intelligence but zero formal scientific education. Within 6 years, Menlo Park generated over 400 patents. That model, organized, collaborative, relentlessly experimental, became the blueprint for every corporate research lab that followed, from Bell Labs to Google X. In July 1877, Edison noticed something odd while tinkering with telegraph technology. When recording tape moved quickly, the stylus made sounds resembling human speech. Most would have dismissed it as noise. Edison saw a possibility. If telegraph signals could create indentations, why not sound waves? By December, he'd sketched a cylinder wrapped in tinfoil, a diaphragm, and a stylus. When machinist John Crucy built it, Edison shouted, "Mary had a little lamb," into the speaking tube, then cranked the handle. His own voice played back. Even Edison was stunned. "I was never so taken aback in my life." The phonograph exploded into public consciousness. President Hayes stayed up until 3 a.m. playing with it at a White House demonstration. For all of human history, sound had been ephemeral. A voice, once spoken, vanished forever. Edison made sound permanent. As one observer noted, the voices of the dead could now be heard again. Edison thought it would be used for business dictation. He'd completely missed that he'd just created the entire recording industry, fundamentally changing how humans experience music and preserve culture. When Edison announced in 1878 that he would create practical electric light, skeptics laughed. Arc lamps existed but were too bright for homes, and gas companies held enormous power. What separated Edison from other inventors was his understanding that the light bulb was just one piece of a larger puzzle. You needed generators, distribution networks, meters, safety systems, an entire infrastructure. While competitors focused on bulb design, Edison engineered a revolution. He tested thousands of filament materials with obsessive patience. In October 1879, carbonized cotton thread burned for over 13 hours. By New Year's Eve, Menlo Park became the Village of Light, illuminated by 50 lamps drawing thousands of visitors on special trains. The real magic came 3 years later. On September 4, 1882, Edison opened Pearl Street Station in Manhattan, the world's first central power plant serving 59 customers through underground cables. Edison had just absolutized thousands of years of human history. Night and day, the ancient rhythm governing all human activity suddenly became negotiable. When photographer Edward Muybridge proposed combining sequential photographs with the phonograph in 1888, Edison envisioned something grander, a system that would do for the eye what the phonograph does for the ear. By 1891, working with assistant William Dixon, he developed the kinetograph, camera, and kinetoscope, viewer. The first film, Monkey Shines, showed a laboratory employee waving his arms, blurry, brief, but historic as America's first motion picture. Edison built the Black Mariah, a bizarre tar paper studio that rotated on tracks to follow the sun, producing vaudeville acts, boxing matches, and dancers. When the kinetoscope debuted in 1894, people lined up to peer through peepholes at moving images, paying 25 cents for 5 short films. The attraction was irresistible. Reality captured and replayed, time made repeatable. Edison initially resisted projection technology, preferring peep show formats that required multiple machines. This miscalculation cost him market dominance when competitors developed successful projectors. Still, his systematic commercialization laid foundations for one of humanity's most influential industries, an art form that would shape culture, politics, and consciousness itself for generations. At 80, Edison pursued his final quest, finding a domestic rubber source to free America from foreign dependence. Partnering with Henry Ford and Harvey Firestone, he tested over 17,000 plant species, crossbreeding goldenrod to achieve 12% rubber content. He reviewed research from his deathbed until days before dying on October 18, 1931. President Hoover asked Americans to dim their lights for 1 minute in tribute, a moment when the nation Edison illuminated briefly returned to darkness. His legacy transcends 1,093 patents. It's his conviction that human ingenuity can overcome any obstacle through relentless persistence. His declaration that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration democratized innovation itself. Breakthrough ideas don't require supernatural brilliance, just superhuman effort. Nearly a century later, we still inhabit Edison's world. Every light switch, recording, and film traces back to his vision, but his deepest gift was proving the future isn't something that happens to us. It's something we build, one experiment at a time. His life whispers a radical truth. The obstacles that feel insurmountable today are just tomorrow's solved problems, waiting for someone stubborn enough to refuse to quit.